good. So that at the last day, when Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant, we will say, yeah, that's because of you. And we can confess that in the Athanasian Creed. Those who have done good will rise to eternal life because we know it's not our good that's getting us there, but Christ's good. What he did for me. Because of this, you have peace with God. That's what Paul is saying. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him we have been gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice confidently on the basis of our hope for the glory of God. Again, he uses the word hope, and that's his frame here. And that reminds us, yeah, hope isn't the same as the world's version of hope. This is not saying, well, I hope the Brewers will do well this year, or I hope the Packers will do well, even though they cut that cornerback, Jaire Alexander. I hope things go well, where it's kind of a pious wish. No, this is the same kind of hope that we would say, I hope the sun rises tomorrow. You know, you have no assurance that it's going to rise tomorrow, but you have that hope and that confidence. And that is a confidence that we have because of what Jesus has done. That we will one day be in heaven with Jesus because Jesus lived, died, and rose for you. Because the Father wants you to be his child, so he sends his one and only Son to suffer your suffering so that you would be with him. But it isn't just the Father and the Son working a hope in you, but also the Holy Spirit. When Paul writes, not only this, but we also rejoice confidently in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces patient endurance, and patient endurance produces tested character, and tested character produces hope. And hope will not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. There it is, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's work is often called sanctification. Like justification, we hear that word and maybe our eyes start to glaze over. In short, sanctification means to make holy. And of course, maybe our eyes are still glazing over. But you remember from confirmation, to make holy means to set apart. It's like when you're sitting there at your dinner table and you have your steak and eggs on one plate, but then you have a special plate that you've set apart. This one is for dessert. Dessert does not go on the same plate of steak and potatoes. Dessert is set apart. It's different. In much the same way, you have been set apart. The unbelieving world, the sinful world, is going where it's going, but now God has set you apart and said, you are different. You are God's child. You are holy. Because he has made you holy. He has poured out his love on you. And this is especially true, Paul says, when we are undergoing adversity. He says, we rejoice confidently in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces patient endurance. Patient endurance produces tested character. And tested character produces hope. Now, at first glance, it might seem like I have to go through a long period. It's like a workout session. I have to work out really long in this session of patient endurance. And then eventually I'll get to character. And then eventually later on, I'll get to hope. Finally, I'll get to hope. But it's a logical progression, not a temporal progression. And let me illustrate how that works. Let's say your loved one dies. Someone really close to you dies. And that's suffering because you miss them. But in that adversity, that's going to reveal your true character. You're going, I know I'm going to see them again in heaven. And where you've all of a sudden now you've jumped to hope, right? And you may have that hope on the day, on the funeral day as you're giving comfort to people who are coming to visit you. And you're saying, yeah, I know it's a sad thing, but they are in heaven. And I will see them again. I will see them again because of Jesus. As sure as the sun's going to rise tomorrow, I will see them because of Jesus. But throughout life, you might still miss that person. It gets to the anniversary, the 1 year that they've been in heaven, you know, the 5 years that they've been in heaven. It gets to all those difficult things, like you got to go through your finances now because they used to do all the finances and things like that. So you're going to continually going through this cycle of undergoing suffering, but then God pouring His love into you through His Word and through the work of the Holy Spirit that develops something that wasn't there before, which is endurance and character and hope. This is what God does. This mysterious and majestic God, who is three persons yet one God, working hope in your life, hope for an eternal future, but then hope as you are undergoing all the struggles and trials of life. This is God's promise to you. This is when you confess the triune God. This is what you are confessing, a God who does all of those things because He loves you. Triune God produces hope. Not just a stuffy doctrine, isn't it? A wonderful God who works in us through His Word. Amen.